It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Good. You're zooming in again from your home there in Arizona, and you are talking today about building trust. Now, we've talked about this before, but you're going to elaborate again. It's a good subject to keep in mind, particularly as it relates to marital relationships, how to have more trust.
Right. Yeah, there are. You know, when I come on the show, I've seen people during the week, and there's always something fresh. The topics are often, there's a number of things that typically come up. And we've talked about, in the past, we've talked about the love triad, where almost invariably when you're doing marriage counseling, in particular, when you're doing marriage counseling, the presenting problems will either eventually and often quite soon focus on either issues of trust or forgiveness or communication.
Mm-hmm.
And in past shows, I've talked about the love triad.
Yeah, quickly, what is, again, love triad? That implies three ideas. What are those three again?
Yeah, there's trust, forgiveness, and communion. And the thing about the love triad, the reason I call it that is because those three issues go together. They're like a woven rope. Mm. You can't have one without the other two. You can't have any one without the other two. So when we talk about trust, that's going to require communion, and it's going to require forgiveness. And so when I talk about the love triad, I develop trust and forgiveness, you know, which is, I could just mention now, forgiveness has to do with giving yourself to another person. And so there's actually something that's given. And then we talk about communion, which is more than communication. It's a giving of yourself. And what we're talking about mostly today, I think, is trust. And if you think about trust issues, that immediately implies giving, and it immediately implies communion, the sharing of our person. So, but I often talk about trust issues in marriage, and this week hasn't been an exception to that. That's one of the things that gets broken in relationships, marriage relationship. And so I want to talk about what do we mean when we say trust? Because I think that there are so many misconceptions about trust, how you build it, how you lose it, those kinds of things. But so I wanted to start off by saying that trust is fundamentally about safety and security.
Mm-hmm.
We think of small children who trust their parents because they're totally reliant on their parents, and they feel safe and secure, should feel safe and secure with their parents. And that's the same in any relationship. But it's not just simply physical safety. In fact, in marriage relationships, it can be physical safety. But if it's a trust issue about physical safety, then that's way down the road. Trust is been lost some time back. If we're talking about physical abuse and those kinds of things, I would doubt that there was ever really any trust in the relationship. But that can come into it when we talk about safety and security. But we're also usually talking about also emotional safety and even spiritual safety. When I say spiritual safety, and we've talked before, I think, in the shows about building intimacy and building, emotional intimacy, intellectual intimacy, spiritual intimacy, physical intimacy, social intimacy. So when we talk about safety and security, we're talking about those areas too. Oftentimes when I'm talking to married couples and the issue of trust comes up, it's not necessarily trust in overt or there's just a sense of lack of trust. A person can, and in fact, a person can be have a lack of trust for another person without any necessarily any evidence of wrongdoing on the other person's part. It's just a sense that you have. Mm. I'm sure you've probably met people. I've met people where I don't even maybe know them very well, but there's just something about them that I don't trust. Or I have friends who I love to be with, I like to spend time with, but I somehow don't trust them entirely. Now, that doesn't mean I don't trust them with myself, but there's just something about their character. And so sometimes there's a sense of lack of trust without any real evidence of anything. So what is it really? Well, it's a question of safety and security. Mm. And that's fundamental to intimate relationships. I can think about the work environment, say, for example, and how much do you trust the boss or how much do you trust the employee? And so you don't really have that degree of intimacy in all relationships that you want to have in your marriage. Mm. But say that sense of safety and security is obviously fundamental to the level of intimacy that you're going to have in the relationship. So what we're really talking about is vulnerability, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that's why it's, you know, not necessarily a marital situation, but I found in like group therapy and those kinds of things where you're kind of confessing your faults one to another, that mm-hmm. builds a unity and builds a trust. And right away, it's amazing how quickly being vulnerable, leading with your own problems, your own faults, really opens not only you up, but opens up other people to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in those situations, you've probably experienced, say in a group setting, there might even be a physical appearance might be something a person's physical appearance or their tone of voice or their body posture might be something that would encourage you to open up more or not. So we get these cues. And then, but yeah, you're right that when we begin to open up, when we feel that we can open up and we offer something, and again, there's that connection between trust and giving, not only giving, but being received. That's very important to give and to receive, which is really what we're talking about when you're talking about intimacy and vulnerability. It's that the ability to give of yourself and be received, and receive the other person. That kind of thing. So there are degrees of trust, obviously, in various relationships, and degrees of trust even in marriages that I see. You might even think that in any given marriage, there are areas of trust and areas of lack of trust. So, and it's kind of like the lack of trust or trust and intimacy, trust and, you know, the ability to be intimate in the marriage relationship. The depth of intimacy is going to rely on the degree of trust. So there are some different things that interrupt trust, or that I find in counseling, and so let's talk about a couple of those. One would be trust over that have to do with like idiosyncrasies of personalities. Mm. So let's think about kind of the absent-minded and the absent-minded or forgetful spouse. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of men that I talk to that remind me somewhat of myself.
Okay.
The wife really doesn't trust them to go to the grocery store and do the best job or, pick up a dust cloth and go around the house and, tidy things up. So there's a level of, forgetfulness or absent-mindedness. My wife has said about me many times during our marriage, "Oh, you're just so spacey," and so those are areas where as we get older, we get more forgetful. And I've got a friend who is getting to that place in his life where he's beginning to get forgetful. So his wife will send him to the grocery store with the list, but he won't come back with a lot of it. And then he'll think, well, I couldn't find it. So there are areas where she doesn't trust him to go to the grocery store, or I've seen situations where, you know, when we get up in our years and we're just not paying attention, like we used to. And so, you know, we're not as trustworthy in a lot of these areas.
Well, knowing that about yourself, does that make you harden your heart toward her if she points that out, or do you receive it?
Well, so that's a great question, Mark. That's a great question, because if trust is built, it doesn't necessarily. You see, because one of the things I wanted to point out is that those things, those idiosyncrasies, don't necessarily affect the level of intimacy. However, it's when they get to the place where they reflect lack of concern, because it can get that way. It can get to where forgetfulness can just begin to look like slothfulness, or forgetfulness can just begin to look like, well, you don't really care. So I've always had a tough time remembering Valentine's Day. I remember it on the day when everybody's talking about it, and there seem to be a lot of flowers in the store, and guys are lined up at the check stand with flowers and chocolates, and then it's sort of like the light goes on, and I go, oh, that's right, it's Valentine's Day. Other things I've had to put on my calendar. You know, I'm not a person who remembers birthdays, so I've had to do that. But that could get to the place where it looks like just slothfulness, and it could actually get to the place where, and does often get to the place where where it's just a matter of just not being concerned enough to be and to discipline yourself to remember things like that. So those idiosyncrasies, they do enter into it, and sometimes people, when we're talking about trust in marriage, sometimes those things will come up, but that, you raise a good question, great question, and those things in and of themselves don't necessarily form a barrier to intimacy, or they're not really necessarily trust issues, but they can be. So we'll talk about that when we come back from the break.
Okay, talking about building trust in marriage, maybe all relationships this applies to some degree, but mainly marriage. If you need help with marital counseling, any other kind of counseling in your life, Daniel would love to help you. How do they get in touch with you, Dan?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Again, as you say, Mark, all virtual counseling now. People also contact me through the website Bible-Based Counselor. BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find years of radio podcasts and some other helps.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators. Recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal, or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at building trust in marriage and relationships maybe in general, but specifically marriage. Daniel says this issue is one of the main ones he has to deal with when he counsels people. And building trust, we also talked about how being vulnerable, leading sort of with your weakness, does build trust. But there seems to be some guidelines that are even okay and encouraged in Scripture. Jesus, I don't know if it was Jesus says this, but this idea of don't cast your pearls before swine. I think there's something about that that means, you know, don't TMI, don't overshare with the wrong people because it's just going to hurt you. He seems to be okay with that as well.
Yeah. I think in marriage, though, there are very few things that, well, there are very few things that should not be shared or cannot be shared. And again, it's a matter of degree. If there are things in the marriage that a person can't share or wouldn't share, I think that's a good question as to why not.
In an ideal situation, then we're hoping that this marital relationship is the one relationship, just like your relationship with God, where you can be totally open and known and share.
Well, I think that's one of the great mm-hmm. purposes of marriage, is it is that one quintessential relationships yeah. where you can open up and allow God to do a deep, deep work in your life. We were talking about how that this idea of safety and security and how trust is fundamental in intimate relationships. It's fundamental in so many ways. Without trust, can you have joy? Without trust, can you have these various kinds of intimacy? Can you feel emotionally secure? Can you feel spiritually secure? Can you feel intellectually secure? And so there must be trust. And if you don't have trust, you really don't have anything. You could say if trust is fundamental to the relationship, it kind of defines the relationship. And so we talked a little bit before the break about some of the typical problems in trust, and we just kind of tapped into the idiosyncrasies. And sometimes those can be presented in the counseling as issues of trust, but there's something underlying them. There's just forgetfulness at the grocery store is not going to break a relationship unless there's something deeper underlying, and that's typically the sense that the person can't be trusted not only to not get all the groceries, but I can't trust myself with the person. It doesn't seem like the person is here for me. And a lot of that can be a problem on the other side of the coin, where sometimes you have a personality that is dependent, and because of the way a person grew up and maybe an abusive childhood, and so they can be more overly dependent in the relationship, and that's really a part for another show. But all things being equal, these idiosyncrasies in and of themselves, as we said before, don't necessarily threaten the relationship unless they become a lack of concern. More frequently, though, it's like an overt misbehavior, a deliberate distancing, and that, of course, can include a foul attitude that's kind of chronic, harsh words, rejection, overt or covert rejection, or neglect or infidelity.
That does shout. Yeah, the harsh words, that shuts things down quickly with a spouse.
Yeah, and it comes from through those harsh words, come from a lack of care. Now, one of the things that I run into, and this is talking about kind of the big myth about building trust or protecting trust, is that people, and I've heard husbands say, well, what do you want me to do? You say you don't trust me. What do you want me to do? I've stopped doing that. One of the big myth is that avoiding bad behavior builds trust. So let's say in a case of a man watching pornography or gambling and keeping a secret from the wife, and then she catches him. And so say trust is broken. Well, I would argue probably that if the person is not trustworthy, then there's never been a very deep trust. But the myth would be, so then we put a monitor on the phone and we put a tracker on the phone. And we do all those things to eliminate that behavior, and somehow it doesn't build trust, because you don't build trust by avoiding bad behavior. You can protect trust by not breaking trust. That has to do with avoiding, but you don't build trust. An example that came to mind was if you went out with a resume to get a job, and your resume was just a list of things you didn't do wrong, just a big list of things you don't do wrong, you would probably not get a job because it wouldn't reflect the things you do. It would just be a list of the things that you don't do. And so you don't build trust by not doing things. You protect trust by not doing things, trust that's already there, but you build trust by being active. You build trust by being careful, serving the other person, sacrificing. I'm going to get into those in a minute, but the barrier. So I was speaking to some people recently, and we come to the place where, in order to build trust with my wife, it's not a matter of not doing some of these overt behaviors, although those, if they're immoral or whatever they are, of course they have to cease because they will break trust. But in order to build trust, what I'm really doing is helping that other person to feel safe and secure and helping them to be vulnerable. And the only way I'm going to do that is to demonstrate that I love that person, and how do I do that? First of all, why would I not do that? And the reason that I would not do that is because it's going to require some sacrifice on my part. So it is a fundamental shift. To build trust requires that a person stop serving himself or herself and really begin to serve that other person. She gets back again to the purpose of marriage and that uniquely intimate relationship, or that potentially intimate relationship, where serving the other person becomes not only a duty, but a joy. And that means I really have got to have a change of heart. You build trust. I want to kind of focus on this in wrapping this up too, Mark, that you build trust by serving, by sacrificing. And as I was writing these notes out, I thought, I mean, the word love just kind of came to mind, serving, sacrificing, love. And then I was recalling how just doing some writing recently about how love is always in Scripture associated, the love of God is always in Scripture associated with sacrifice. Mm. In fact, I don't think we can know God's love if he had not sacrificed. And I don't recall reading in Scripture any discussion of love that does not have something to do with sacrifice. Mm. It just seems like you can't express love without sacrifice, and you can't accept love unless there's a sacrifice. And so that's one of the big barriers to building trust, is that it's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require that fundamental shift away from protecting myself and sacrificing for the other person. And that really is a mind that really is a focus shift, because it is contrary to our nature. And it really requires us in marriage to trust God in that relationship, because, you know, the response might be, well, if I take care of my spouse, what about me? You know, who's going to take care of me?
Right.
And so, you know, I got to take care of myself first. And so there feels like a risk, feels like a sacrifice in loving in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think the good news is that if it's equal on both sides of the relationship, and sometimes that takes some work and maybe some counseling, but it takes two people really, really working together, a husband and wife really working together, to get to that place where each person is willing and not just willing, but wanting to sacrifice and serve the other person. And really the word for that is love. Mm. And so you could say, well, you know, how do we trust God? Well, we trust God. You know, when we say we trust God, if we were honest, I don't trust God to do what I expect him to do. I don't trust God to do what I want him to do. I don't trust God to do what always feels good to me. Mm. Why do I trust him at all? Because so many of the times, you know, you pray and you don't get what you prayed for, because maybe we're still learning to pray. Or I can think of times in my life when I thought certain God was going to move in a certain way, and then he did 180 degrees off, you know. And it's well, why do you trust God? Well, I trust God because he's sacrificed, because he's given himself entirely. He hasn't held anything back. And it's, when we talk about love in marriage, we're talking about God's love, because we don't have some other source of love. If we're pursuing love in marriage, we're pursuing God in marriage. And so it is about that fundamental shift in focus to build trust. we've really got to discipline ourselves in serving one another, and that's how we build trust. That's how we get to the place where we can overlook the idiosyncrasies. And, you know, love covers a multitude of sins or a multitude of foul-ups. So those things don't really threaten trust as long as as long as the foundation is that loving carefulness, caring for the other person fully, looking for opportunities to care. And there are so many opportunities in the day, and that's how you build trust, not by avoiding bad behavior, but by aggressively, intentionally serving. And so that's kind of what I want to leave people with. Sometimes it's a process. It's not a process. Yeah. It's not a light switch.
Yeah, you
don't
just snap your fingers and you have total trust. You do have to build it. We have to build trust in our relationship with God and with our spouse. So it's a lifelong process. Building trust, the subject today. People need help with their marriage or anything else. Daniel, how do they get in touch with you?
The phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also contact me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you'll find also all of these radio shows for past years.
Okay, it's the Sound Mind broadcast with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.